إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين إن شاء الله. In the continuation of the series building the Muslim family in United States or in general, building the Muslim family and the foundation. The last time I stopped, and it was in about now you have the spouse or you have the partner that you both having the understanding and you both committed yourself to help each other to be more obedient, and that's the purpose of marriage. Purpose of marriage, subhanallah, is to have the mawaddah and to have the rahmah, have the peace and tranquility and have the mercy in your life. And now we are about to select the place where is that house and how we're gonna turn that house to home after that. I said one of the major point that we have to, not to consider, but we have to adhere to, we have to obey and we have to apply, is it has to be lawful. It has the money that you're using. If you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the money to buy, buy, alhamdulillah. If you can't, live within your means. Within your means. Don't think ever that Allah, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in a place where he is disobeyed in it. So it has to be lawful. Also, you have to do the best that you can to select the right environment and the right neighborhood. Because this is the culture in general that you will raise your family and you will be trusted with and you will interact with. And like they say, there is a say, it takes a whole entire village to raise only one single child. So you have to select and you have to be very aware about and very conscious about the neighborhood where you will select the place that you will live in child. Also, one of the requirements is you need also to look about the purity of that neighborhood. You do not go and, for instance, in an area where it is all nightclubs or gambling, or it is drug trafficking, or liquor stores right by them, and you say, I have my business, they have theirs. No, sooner or later it will catch up with you. Sooner or later it will catch. And if it doesn't catch up with you, it's going to catch up with the member of your family. So you have to stay away from the places where they practice forbidden or they promote forbiddens. Also, you have to look at the concept of privacy when you are selecting. You have to select the place that your privacy will not be exposed in it. And at the same time, you do not expose some other people privacy. So you have to worry about, Islamically, you have to worry about the privacy concept. After that, another element that you should, based on all of those elements, is you have to keep in mind that you have to be very conscious about that your home, when you turn that place to home, it's going to be a source for mercy to everyone. When I say it's going to be a source to mercy of everyone, that means in a lot of time and in a lot of cases, we are thinking about marriage. It is a relationship between man and a woman, and they're going to get married, and they're going to have children, and this is it called a family. This is never happened, and it will never happen this way and this format. Because there are liabilities, and they are a commitment. We are not predators. We are not animals. We are a human being. We have obligations to our parents. We have obligations to the spouse parents. We have obligation to a temporary need, sheltering, maybe to a divorce sister or somebody in a trouble in the family, you have to keep that all the time on mind. When you are selecting, so you are not selecting the place that it will meet your convenience and meet your spouse's convenience, but also going to meet the need of your liabilities. You're going to say, oh, that's a nice place where they have a good schools, and probably when we have children, we will have this. How about your mom, your mother, your father? Is that place closer to a hospital? One thing I know, and I might be wrong, but this is what I believe in. I might be wrong, like I said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرُ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَقُلْ. And you all know the rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mandatory. That's my interpretation. That taking care of your parents in your custody, not nursing home, not social security, not welfare, not staying with somebody else, your custody. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. أُفْ is the smallest known word in the Arabic vocabulary. There is nothing smaller. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, even the smallest thing you are not allowed to do, with it can harm their feeling or compromise their safety or compromise their convenience. Off. It is consist only from two letters. Alif and Fa. Off. So the minimum, you are not even allowed to that. That can tell you how the responsibility, when you are selecting the place, you have to look at the needs of your responsibility. Like it's going to be to your children and to your spouse. Also, it is to your parents. And also, it's going to have to be a part of the preparation for before the wedding, is where those, what is how these liabilities, or I don't call them liabilities, but I call them blessing, how this blessing will be handled in our home. Because that can be the spouse's mother. And for the wife, there is only one child, which is that child. Where's she going to go? Simple. Where's she going to go? Or even the parents, they are alive, but they are old, very old. Where are they going to go? So marriage is not only a man and a woman getting married, or one and a woman based on whatever definition I had before about committing themselves to help each other to be a more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, but that's part of it. But there are a certain obligation get generated on that. The minute you said I do and I accepted the marriage, that means I accepted your spouse, the spouse's parents, to be mine. You have the same rights, they have the same rights and obligation. The only exception is the concept of inheritance. The concept and the law of inheritance. Other than that, your home must be a source of mercy to everyone. And you have to be aware of that dimension when you are building your family. Now, if we have all of this, inshallah, got straightened up, I want to know now how the house from, I still call it house, not home. How is that house going to look like from inside? One of the major elements must be in it, and that's something distinguished and something unique you can identify the Muslim family by, is to have a musalla. You have an exclusive place for prayer in your home. And where is that coming from? Look at Surah Yunus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوحينا إلى موسى وأخيه أن تبوأ لقومكم بمصر بيوتا واجعلوا بيوتكم قبلة وأقيموا الصلاة وبشر المؤمنين. Make from your homes qibla. Your home must be a qibla. There is a designated area in it. I'm not saying it is mandatory, But I am saying it is highly recommended. Aleykümselam. The masjid must be, you have to start the masjid in your home. So the other masjid, when the member of the family go to that one, they are not going to a strange place. They are, that's extension to them. So the first thing you have to be worried about, like what you're going to have, well, this is the living room, this is the dining room, this is the kitchen, this is whatever. Do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, may Allah bless you, as long as it is lawful, why not? Enjoy yourself, that's the place where you're going to spend, and will, that's what you're listening. But it's a great small area. Even if you can have a partition like this, you can have a little partitions, and you say, that's a place. For inshallah, we will make it Qibla, where we pray in it. Get the whole family to pray in it, pray Jama'ah in it. When we will do the Zikr in it, and we will do the study in it. So if you don't have that place, I hope that you will consider finding out even a little place that you can designate in your home to be for you and for your family. The second thing, needless to mention that everything is supposed to be halal. Furniture is coming from halal, carpet halal, everything that you buy and you get is halal. And you live within your means. And there is even one issue we were talking about right before the khutbah is about if you have the means. I know there is an area, it's called al-musrafin. Al-musrafin is, you have a need, I have a need. That you can, within reason, cover your need. But also, extravaganda, you can think that you are covering your need. Every one of us need a car. But what is, let us say, what is the average car? The average good, wholesome car? Maybe between $20,000 to $30,000. Somebody want to get a van because he got a family. Somebody maybe a four cylinder, six, whatever your need is. But the average is what? Is between maybe $20,000 to $30,000. And maybe less than that, you will meet your need. But I'm just giving an example. When somebody go and spend $200,000 and $300,000, having the money, that does not mean that money is yours. Wallahi la tus'alunna amma tuf'alun. You will be asked for that. Because there is a theory in Sharia, it's called Nazariyat al-Rizq, the provision theory. What does this provision theory say? It says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide the non-cable or uncable through the cable. So your need, maybe your need, $20,000 a year. That's what you need. But Allah giving you $100,000. Yes, the arba your need. But those belong to somebody else. You better find them out where those are people and you give it to them. Look at even your children. The children, they are not capable of earning a living. But Allah provide for them through you, which is you are the capable one. Capable one to do it. So don't think that it is only the blood relationship, but there is a general mercy relationship. You cannot be driving a car like this and you are seeing a people spending the night without food, or they don't have a blanket. There is here a balance of what it can, you can be claim, and it is justifiable for your need, and you go just having the money, that does not means it is yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? وَانْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلْنَاكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. Spend from what we authorize you to spend from. We give you the authority to spend from. So you have to keep in your mind all the time that you do not, when you are putting the furniture of that room, when you are putting things together, yes, have your own style, have your own prerogative, have something nice, something decent to meet your character and your style, why not? But don't go overboard. Because whatever overboard here, probably that money, somebody else can be in need too. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more reward if you really deliver that money or these things to where it belongs. Another thing that it must be in your home, a library. Muslim library. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His wisdom, the first word of revelation it was Iqra. Iqra means what? Acquire knowledge. Why you acquire knowledge? You acquire knowledge because based on the knowledge that you will get, you will have a confidence in what you do. You are not going to do things just because others doing it, or the culture is doing it, or you are promoted by your own needs and desires to do it. Iqra means knowing what is the right thing to do and what is the wrong thing to stay away from. Just the day before yesterday, today is Friday, Wednesday, last Wednesday, I got a call from students, from a professor. She's a female, Muslim female, and she's getting married. And she is asking me, I'd like to make the invitation cards. Can you please recommend a surah or ayah to put it in this card? She wants a verse from the Quran to be put and printed on the invitation card. And I congratulated her, and after that I asked, what is the name of the groom? And the name of the groom has nothing to do with Islam. And I said, is he Muslim? She said, no, he is a Roman Catholic. Now, you tell me what I'm supposed to say. And what is the responsibility of Islam? And if you think this is not a problem, or if this is something that is happening, I can tell you with a lot of confidence. That's more than 80-90% of our Muslim world exposure to. This is epidemic. And everybody just to cover the blanket and turn his head on their head and keep a go. The point here is this. What am I going to say to a professor, which is alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, I told her what can make my conscience clear. I told her this has been bad in marriage, and I will never forget this in Allah's ground and avoid it. And there is a lot more steps need to be done before that. That man has to be exposed to Islam, and when he decides to be a Muslim so you can have a valid marriage, the decision is not to get married. If he decides to be a Muslim, it's not going to be for the purpose of marriage. He's going to be for the purpose of he wants to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that time, and only in that time, we can sit down and talk about marriage. I'm not going to give you the feedback, what I heard, because you can expect it what I had. But that's not to me strange, and it is not the first time to happen. This, I drove this point, which is a living one, which is, please don't think your home is away from it. No, it is not. Maybe you are in the middle of this crisis and you don't know it yet. The here issue, she is a very knowledgeable woman. She is already a professor in the university. She has students. But she doesn't know what is forbidden. She doesn't, nobody told her. No one told her the second part is like a coin has a two sides, what to do and what to not to do. Sometimes they say, pray, Allah will bless you. Ramadan coming, fast, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will... But nobody spoke about the second part. And if the family were not going to speak about that, what do you think is going to happen? People don't learn things in their dreams. They need organized behavior, they need educational behavior, they need hard work, they need spoon feeding of the knowledge, and you have to give it to them home. Like you have a fridge for food, you have to have a library. And the library is not for the scholars. The library must include the material for every single group of age, everything in time. If you want to raise them right, and if you want to turn your house to a home. So, the minimum requirement by all livings must be in this library is references to Quran information by a language that not you, but anyone in the member of the family, regardless what the age is, they can understand. The second, we need to know who is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the cartoon Dilemma, it was I think in Ireland, in Holland, I was approached by teenagers. And he was very honest, very, very honest. He said, what is the fuss? What are the people is getting so keyed about? About somebody practice his own freedom and he made some caricature about Muhammad. So what is the problem? People got killed in Pakistan, some demonstration somewhere, people started to boycott goods and all of that. What is that fuss is all about? So for whatever reason, I find myself asking him, who is Muhammad? We are talking about a college kid here. College kid, that means he can be a father. Very easy. I asked him, who is Muhammad? And you know what it was the answer? The Prime Minister of Pakistan. How I can't blame that kid? There is a crime here, but who committed? I can tell you right away, it's not the kid. There is a crime. A crime being committed here. Not sin. A crime and a sin, definitely. But the kid is the victim of it. 18, 19 years old. I know that taller than me. And all he knows about Muhammad is he's the Prime Minister of Pakistan. That's all he knows. There is a problem. You have to have, but whatever means, I mean, if you can have books, you can have CDs, you can have tapes, what videos, whatever you can have, to make sure that part of this wealth of knowledge is going to be a clear definition to what is lawful and what is forbidden. You need to have references for that. You need to have books for that. Your child must be able, or your wife or your husband must be able to go right in and in a very few seconds find out if that what they are about to do is lawful or forbidden. A lot of people, even in the lawful and forbidden, inshallah, one day it will be addressed. There are priorities and there are categories and there are different types. There are three major types of forbidden. There are three different types of forbidden. We leave the most of them and we hang on to one, halal meat. Make sure that you have halal meat. You have halal meat, you have the Jannah. You are done. Anything else, you deal and steal and will, I'm not meaning anyone in particular. You cheat, you lie, you deceive, you hypocrite, you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing all kind of crimes, but you are eating halal meat, alhamdulillah. It's done. That is a crime. That is a crime. Every single member in your family must know vividly what is forbidden and what is not, and what is their category. And what it means, the word forbidden. Going back to the example about this professor, when I said the word professor, the forbidden, the reaction it was, so what? I mean, like you've been a child 4 years old, and you have a scholar in nuclear pollution. And give him a lecture. You told him everything right. You told him what but what is the impact? What is the impact? What did the meaning meant to do? Nothing. The words, they were authenticated, maybe in a lab or in a scientific environment or a scientific community. Man, you are having something heavy here. But for that child, what is the reaction? Boring. Or doesn't give it a weight. The word disobeying Allah doesn't mean anything. The word forbidden doesn't mean anything. And that's what we have to open our eyes for. We have a long, long way to go to reach just the border. I mean it. Long, long way to go to reach the border. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts tremble from the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the respect, just the mention of the word Allah. Not to dare to disobey Allah and it mean nothing. That can show you the magnitude of the problem and how far we're supposed to go. Also, you have to have a good examples. And you have to have what it is in legislation, which is we have plenty of those, about ethics, the Muslim ethics. And we have to understand there is a difference between ethics and between etiquettes. What we are after is ethics, not etiquette. We will, because ethics include etiquettes, but etiquettes does not necessarily promoted by ethics. No one can give you a big smile and give you all the kind of etiquettes better than politicians. And no one creating war and mischief and all kind of corruption more than politicians. Not all of them. But that's the reality of fact. We want ethics. So you have to have those, and you have to have those in the material of the library that you have. Also the place where you live must be according to Sharia. Somebody keep full status for a living being object. Or keeping unnecessary pictures under the form of art. Women's, whatever there is, and she says, this is, why you look at it as if it is a naked picture? Why you didn't see the color distribution in it? Why you didn't look at the light in it? You have a devious mentality. No, I don't have a devious mentality, but you need to review your mentality. You can have the color distribution, the light distribution, the shade distribution, you can have all kind of distribution, and you can be an artist, but you don't have to be an inner with women or in unnecessary images. You can have all of that art, and there is nothing wrong with it when it is lawful and it is within the boundaries of Sharia. And also another thing we have in Islam, and inshallah the last thing I want to talk about is we have in Islam one of the major, we have five major sets of law control our behavior. Five major sets of law control our behavior. it come in the top of him, and we cannot turn our back on him. The law number one, it's called the general mercy. General mercy, that means whomever in need, you have to meet his need. That's the bottom line. Whoever in need, especially something threatening to the life, to the existence, or somebody in disease, or a fame, or in really bad situation, or somebody drowning and you know how to swim. No, you got to jump. You cannot say, well, it is the cold water. Or maybe if the water is cool or if it's okay, I will jump and get it. No, you don't. You are committing here a crime. So there is something called the general mercy. But the general mercy, it goes in accordance also all the animals. And you have to hunt the animals. Hunting is not for pleasure. Hunting is only for me. And it has its own rules, it has its own regulations. But dogs, so you have to have a mercy on dogs if you are in your custody in a certain condition. But that does not mean you keep them. That does not mean you keep the dogs home. So you keep that, also you keep that home clean and purified. And now you have all the ingredients, inshallah, to turn that house to a home. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guide us. And help us to reconstruct and refurbish our own houses. And give us the knowledge through the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to turn our houses to homes. Homes where the angels will meet and where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal and will stay in it. And help us to understand the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life. So we can live in peace and die in peace, and in the hereafter will be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. إن الحمد لله والشكر لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. Okay, I want to finish the khutbah by calling your attention to something that I've been thinking about before, and I hope that you will help me at least to verify it and to find out that if it is right or not. I am having a little problem with giving a khutbah and speaking, and if people will be aware of the issues, and after 15-20 minutes everybody go to his home very well. And most likely tomorrow back to them. I am positive you learn to a lot of learned people, a lot of scholar people. They have a lot more knowledge and they did the job a lot more better than me. But the question, the challenge that I am coming to you today by and bringing myself with it, what is the impact of the khutbah on you? What is the any khutbah, what is doing to you? Does it help you to change? Or it is something that it gets you excited for a minute and puts you in a good mood, and after that, 1 or 2 hours, everything is done. We definitely need to help each other here. I don't believe for a second that one person or two or three, they only have the answer. No, I don't believe by that. But all of us have the answer. And I think we will all start to be merciful to each other. If we, every single one of us, whatever the khutbah is, and whomever the khatib is, whomever the given the khutbah is, whatever the subject is, by the end of the second part of it, you have a commitment in your heart
that you will do a change. That you will change something in your life based on what you heard. Or otherwise, what you heard is philosophy. What is it that you need to change? Because if you have a perfect life, to start with, you don't need to be in the masjid, you already got it. But as long as you are coming to the masjid, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, that means there is something, a whole lot of work need to be done just to qualify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. So we need, every one of us need to ask himself or herself, what is it that I need to change today? And maybe by talking to each other, we will find out, maybe I got the same feeling and I got the same problem and I have the same commitment like you do. Or maybe there is something that I never ever thought of. We need to communicate with each other after a few seconds. And everyone, after every khutbah, come up with a commitment, what you want to do. What is the value of what you heard? How is that going to influence your life? How is that going to change it? And you commit yourself to do the change till next khutbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah to forgive all our sins and wipe out all our shortcomings and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply it in our life so we can live in peace, apply in peace, and the hereafter will be in peace and will be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah peace. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
استقيم حتى الله. Please straighten up your lines. Straighten up your lines. Fill the gaps between the feet and the shoulders. Have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. Pray as if it is your last prayer, because this can be your last prayer. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله
الله أكبر.
الله
أكبر.
الله
أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
سمع الله من حمده.
ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله أكبر
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 الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم.
In a different household than I, and his mom is like of the Christian faith, but he's interested in Al-Islam.
How old is he?
8 years old.
John, well, that's a really good age to start. Mm-hmm. Number one, you have to be the role model for that child.
Right.
And you know, the Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has to be your role model. So you can literally feed him by spoon without talking from your behavior. When he see that you are prompt, you are respecting his mother, you are not lying, you are not cheating, you can tell him, I am doing this because I am a Muslim. Okay, and you tell him most of the time, because he is in the age of a taklif, he is not yet. But what you can say, if you wanna, they all the time show the benefit of doing things without lecturing. Like, if you wanna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, be kind to your parents. Full stop. And that's it. Let him think about how he's gonna be good to his parents.
Right.
Another, Muslim, do not lie. Out of respect to Allah. Muslim, do not commit adultery, or do not steal. They do not smoke, they do not drink. Bullets, bullets, bullets. And you tell them, why? Because that's what gonna get you to Allah mercy. Tell them, you are not just living as animals here. We have to prepare this. And the more you find a friend, you really have your friend. That's what it is. They see your love to you, you will observe for your name. The best way to get to use your Islam is to be a little bit of a knowledge, a little bit of a knowledge, not good. And maybe you can inspire them down the road to a project, a little project,
Call each other, and they promoted the children and the teenagers, and alhamdulillah, very much so they are on their way to accomplish that goal. But living the life without goal is the biggest crime that you can do. You have to put in his life major milestone and let him do it, not you, but you promote him to do it. Okay, if you spend the week praying to God, I am taking you tomorrow. Especially in that age. Or I'm going to get you the toy that you want. Or I'm going to take you to the shopping center and we'll have a good time with each other. Relate, divide what you want to very small goals. And with every goal, there is a reward. This is the old best way to communicate. So why you want to get to his soul? By give him the task that he can afford doing, and he will be very proud of accomplishing. And at the same time, he's getting approval from you and recognition by the gift. And later on, he will not going to need the gift. Because he's going to see the fruit of what you do. And like this, you fulfill your job as a father. And may Allah bless you and bless your family.
Brother, you talk about halal meats.
No? Yeah.
About the halal meats. Yeah. Is there like you buy meat from Giant or is it halal? Yeah, that's okay.
That's halal, that's Taham Ahlul Kitab. There is a rule, it says by default. By default, that means what? If you do not know for sure, it is lawful. Okay. You are getting now, the Muslim world, Muslim scholar, they already started from the 90s. They went through most of the slaughtering methods in Europe and the United States. And they already came up, the way that they slaughter, it is not rejectable. Not rejectable. What is rejectable is what? If you hack, if you crack, like you put the, get a chicken head and you put it on the door and slam the door, that's forbidden. If you twist, like snap, that's forbidden. If you say, you slaughter, but you say by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's forbidden, completely forbidden. But they mean that it is in a production, and no one's saying anything about it. You have the choice. حِلَّ لَكُمْ طَعَامُ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, and that's considered Ahlul Kitab. Because the majority of Ahlul Kitab, or at least this is how they are perceived. You can say when you buy, Bismillah Allahu Akbar, and you buy. When you cook, Bismillah Allahu Akbar. When you eat, Bismillah Allahu Akbar. If you don't feel comfortable, don't do it. But don't say it is forbidden. Because in this case, that took you to a complete different category. You are making lawful forbidden and forbidden lawful. Sayyidina Muhammad ate with the Jews, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when Bani Najran came, he already sat down and ate with them. When he went to the Jews, then he said, no, I want to see how you slaughter them. And they tried to poison him. And one person got killed out of this incident. He didn't ask anybody how you slaughter. And we are not going to be more pious or more knowledgeable or more God conscious more than Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salam. But some people, they don't feel comfortable. For those of them, but don't say it is for them.
No, that's
it. So, the question is, you have a children, like a boy and a girl, and you want to cut the excess of their private part. The boy, they call it Sunnah for Ibrahim alayhi salam. I want to know the hukum or how you do for the female, the daughter.
Okay. The female, there is a hadith says not to cut. There is difference between poor. He is trim. He said trim. Now أحسن الفرج وأفضل الزوج. That means the trimming here is wrong. Only there the is a small organ in the woman vagina. It is not mandatory requirement that we local forbidding, but it is something kind of recommended. You have to put it in the class. You see, tip, both in the tip, it will be cut. Not the body. The body means kill women sensation. That's it. She's gone. You have in front of you animal. That's it. Only the tip. He said, أحسن للفرج. That means you will not have overgrown desire. But it can be destroyed. وأحظ للزوج. That means at the same time, she will have the sensation of the relationship, which she will accept the husband.
Okay.
In a lot of cases, when that part is gone, husband is the enemy.
Okay.
The husband
is the enemy.
It's the enemy. Because I'm getting involved in something
that I'm not enjoying.
Okay. Not only enjoying, I don't know, it is painful.
Painful,
yeah. I am not in it.
Okay, gotcha.
Or by another word, I am raped.
Mm-hmm.
I am getting raped here. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be what? That's not, that's going to be what? Going to be a bad with the relationship. Instead of having a normal relationship with the kind of a mutual agreement and all of that stuff, no, you have one partner is already did an hour of it. So the circumcision for boys, that's scientifically now even proven. And like
that,
you
that's
said,
no question.
That's not the problem. And how it is done and all that, that's not. And the sooner the better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the sooner and the younger the better, definitely. But for the girls, either you leave them alone or you do that tip if whomever will do
but
it.
But if you leave it alone, it's no problem.
It shouldn't be any problem.
Islam
because it is not okay. It is, that part is under, the whole issue we're talking about is under a classification called purification.
Okay.
Purification of the body.
No.
Okay. This purification is in the sunnah. That means if it is done, okay, it is okay. And if it is not done, there is no harm done. Let me give you an example. Boys and girls, they get adult in different ages and different cultures. Some they can reach 16 and 17 and 18 in a very cold environment. Also, in a heated culture, the sexual appetite, it can be a lot more than in a cold environment.
Okay.
You know, the body needs trim the sexual needs because he needs the fat, he needs everything in it to survive in the cold environment.
Okay.
So he's not going to spend that.
Okay.
So this is